Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Chaf Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, L'zeh Shnayim L'zneh Shnayim. As we had learned in the last case of the Mishnah, our Mishnah discussed where there were two people. One's name was Reuven and one's name was Moshe, who had married two women, Rachel and Leah, who were sisters, but it wasn't known who was Reuven's wife and who was Moshe's wife. So our Mishnah discussed the situation where Reuven had two brothers, Levi and Shimon, and Moshe had two brothers, Aaron and Elazar. And the Mishnah taught us that Shimon, Reuven's brother, could do chalitza with one of those women, let's say Leah, and Aaron, Moshe's brother, then does chalitza with Rachel, the other of those two sisters, and then the two remaining brothers, Levi, Reuven's brother, and Elazar, Moshe's brother, could then do yibum with the other woman, meaning that Levi could do chalitza with Rachel, or could do yibum with Rachel, and Shimon could do, and I'm sorry, and Elazar can do yibum with Leah. Our Mishnah also taught us that if Levi and Shimon both did chalitza first, one with Rachel, one with Leah, the halacha still should be that Aaron and Elazar, Moshe's remaining brothers, one should do chalitza, and then only the final brother should do yibum. However, our Mishnah taught us that if Aaron and Elazar both did yibum, even though that's not what they should have done, really only one of them, and actually the second one, should have done yibum, the halacha is im kansu emet sinai samiyadam. Ask the Gemara, hasu lamali, why was this case necessary? All of the halachas that we've learned, and the reasoning for the various halachas, that the concern is, as we discussed in the previous year, that achoy sukakosoy is a concern. There's a concern of achoy chalutzosoy. There's a concern of yivam l'shuk. All of those concerns have been addressed in the previous cases of the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah have to add this case? Answers the Gemara. Madu Taima, Ligzer, Dilma Miyabim, Beloy Chalitza. Perhaps in this case, Yibum will be done without Chalitza. Kamash Malon, that's why there's a Chiddush in this case. And the Rishonim have two ways of explaining what we just learned. The difference between this case and the previous case was that in this case, Reuven, who doesn't know if he's married to Rachel or Leah, had two brothers, Shimon and Levi, as we said. In the previous case, Reuven only had one brother, Shimon. Moshe, both in this case and in the previous case, had two brothers, Aaron and Elazar. So Rishonim explain, in a situation where Reuven only left one brother, we learned that Shimon, his remaining brother, has to do chalitza to both Rachel and Leah, and then afterwards Aaron and Elazar, one does chalitza and one does yibum. Since chalitza is being done by Shimon anyway, for Shimon has no other option but to do chalitza, we're not concerned that a chalitza will not be done by Moshe's brothers. However, in our case, as we just described it, at the end of the day, both women will have had yibum, and people may come to make an error and not give chalitza at all, with the assumption that the two yibums are enough. But we know that that's not enough, because if one brother of the other men do yibum, they may be doing yibum even with the wrong women, the women who weren't married to the brother. And that's why the chalitza that comes before is so very crucial that it happened. And there's a concern that they won't make chalitza relying on the yibum of just under two final Yibams. That's why maybe we should be concerned that they should not allow, we should not allow this to happen. Teaches us the Mishnah that as long as one brother of each deceased does chalitza first, then afterwards one remaining brother of each of the brothers who died can do chalitza, can do yibam. That's the way some Rishonim explain. Another way the Rishonim explain is that there's a concern in this situation that the second set of brothers may come to completely rely on the first set of brothers, because there's a concern that the first two brothers will do chalitza on the two women, and the second set of brothers, that means Reuven's two brothers, Levi and Shimon, will do chalitza, one to Rachel and one to Leah, and that may erroneously cause Moshe's brothers to believe that they can now do two sets of Yibam. And even though the halacha is in kansu that if they did such a thing, eimot sinai sam yadam, that's not what should be done. That's why we think perhaps a gzeirah should be made. Our Mishnah teaches us it isn't. Ask the Gemara, why is our Mishnah different mehada tanan? What we're going to learn at the beginning of the next perek. The Mishnah there discusses arba ochim, four brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, shnai mem nesun shtei achoyos. Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. Umeiswa and the Sunas Achoyos, and Reuven and Shimon die without children. The halacha is Hare Elu Chol Tzois V'Loi Misyabmois. Rachel and Leah, who now fall to Zika, to Levi and Yehuda, the only option our Gemara, the Mishnah teaches us, is that they both have to have chalitza, one from Levi and one from Yehuda. So as Rashi, and the Mishnah continues to say, Vimkansu, and if Levi and Yehuda marry these two women, Maitzin Oysam Yodam, they have to get divorced. So Rashi explains that the Gemara's question is that here in our Mishnah it says, Imkansu, if both people who did Yibam, even though as we said the halacha should have been that one should, the right thing to do is one should do Chalitza and then one should do Yibam, it says that if they both did Yibam, Ein Maitzin Oysam Yodam, we allow the marriages to remain. And yet, over there, the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Im Kansu Maitzin Oysam Yodam, we make them get divorced. That's how Rashi explains is the Gemara's question. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's approach, because Tosfos says if that's the Gemara's question, that part of the Mishnah, which is the crucial part of the question of our Gemara, that there it says, Im Kansu Maitzin Oysam Yodam, and our Mishnah says, Mkansu, Emaitzin Oysam Yodam, is not even in the Gemara. And that's the crucial question. Therefore, Tosfos' question, says the Gemara's question, is that our Mishnah says that one brother should do Chalitza, and then the other brother could do Yibam. And there, the Mishnah says that both brothers only could do Chalitza. Why? By us is the Halacha, one brother Chalitza, one brother Yibam. And there is the Halacha, both brothers Chalitza. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Hashta. Can we compare the two cases? Hasam, in the case of the Mishnah from Daf Chavav, the next perek, Ilaman Dama Yezika. And we've already discussed this case. One man Dama says the reason Levi and Yehuda cannot do Yibum and Rachel and Leah is because since both of these women are Zakuk to Levi, and both of these women are zakukos to Yehuda, they're both widows of their deceased brothers, if we hold Yezika, so Levi cannot do Yibam with Rachel, she's the sister of Rachel, she's the sister of Leah, his zakuka, and vice versa, Leah, nobody can do Yibam too, because she's the sister of the other zakuka, Rachel. So Rashi explains, the sheet of Yezika says, since Yibum is not a possibility, so Nesra, this woman becomes disqualified as a candidate for Yibum, and that disqualification remains. Hasam, therefore, Ila Mandama Yezika, according to Mandama, that neither Levi Yehuda can do Yibum with Rachel Oleya, is because we say Yezika, and that considers them disqualified, and they remain permanently disqualified. But as we explained at the end of the previous parak, there's another possible concern that if Levi will do Yibum and Rachel, and then prior to Yehuda doing Yibum or Chalitza to Leah, Yehuda will die, Levi will no longer be able to do Chalitza or Yibum to Leah, because at that point she'll be Achos Ishtar, his wife Rachel's sister. Since there's a concern that that may happen, Chazal said they should not do Yibum. They should both give Chalitza. So again, Rashi follows the same approach. Rashi's approach is that there's a concern of Nesra, because of the concern of Mitzvah, because of the concern of Os Levatel Mitzvah Svivomim, Levi was not allowed to do Yibum, Yehuda was not allowed to do Yibum, and that Nesra, that disqualification remains. Other Rishonim, the Mashal explains them this way, say that Os Levatel Mitzvah Svivomim doesn't cause a situation of Nesra, but what did the Gzeiris Chazal, that because of this concern, Yibum should never be done. Hocha, however, here, Kol Chad V'Chad, Eim V'Dedor Kamis Ramele. In our case, after Reuven's brothers did Chalitza both in Rachel and Leah, so of course, as the Mishnah taught us, the right thing is that Moshe's brothers, one brother should first do Chalitza, and the other brother then may only do Yibum. But if they didn't follow that ruling, and they both did Yibum, they both could say, we married women that were permissible to marry to. Aaron could say that Rachel, the woman I married, was my Yivama. And then Elazar could say, Leah wasn't ever my brother's wife, so there's nothing wrong with me marrying her, or vice versa. Therefore, this situation is different, and Chazal allow in Yibmu, if both did Yibu, Eimetzin Eisam Yodam. The last halacha that we learned in the Mishnah is, as we just said, Kadm v'Kantzu, if after Reuven's two brothers both gave Chalitza to Rachel and Leah, Aaron and Elazar, Moshe's brothers, instead of one doing Chalitza and one doing Yibum, they both did Yibum, Eimetzin Eisam Yodam. Tani Shila, says Shila, Bafilu Shneim Kahanim. Even if Moshe, Aaron, and Elazar were all Kahanim, and Aaron and Elazar both doing Yibum, are actually doing Yibum in a woman, one of the two women that they did Yibum is a Chalutza, because one of them certainly required Chalitza from Reuven's brothers, because one of them was certainly Reuven's wife. Still, the halacha is that we allow them to remain married. My Tama, why? Kahanim are not allowed to marry a Chalutza. Answers the Gemara, Chalutza d'Rabbanan hi. The Isser for a kohen to marry a Chalutza is only an Isser d'Rabbanan. V'safi Chalutza, Aaron and Elazar both can claim that the woman that they married was not a Chalutza. The Chalitza that woman received from Reuven's brothers was a meaningless Chalitza, because she wasn't Reuven's wife. So since it's a Safik Rabbanan, Legosuba Rabbanan Chazal did not make such a gzera. Ask the Gemara, is the Isser for a Kohen to marry a Chalutza only the Rabbanan he? The Chalutza the Rabbanan he? Is the Isser only the Rabbanan? For Tanya Grusha. The Torah tells us that a Kohen may not marry a Grusha. Only Ella Grusha. That only tells us that he's not allowed to marry a divorcee. Chalutza Menayim. How do we know that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalutza? Tamalayma v'isha. The Torah adds the word v'isha. So we see that the Issa for a Kohen to marry a Chalutza is the Raisa. How could the Gemara suggest that it's only a Drabonon? Answers the Gemara. The Gemara persists. Midrabonon hi. The Issa for a Kohen to marry a Chalutza is only Issa Drabonon. I, the Pasuk that we quoted, Kra, Asmachta ba'almahi. It's only an Asmachta and it's not a Daraisa. And therefore, in a situation of a Safik, Chazal were lenient. Teaches us the Mishnah. Mitzvah begodol liyabim. The mitzvah is that the oldest brother should do Yibim. However, from Kodem HaKotten, if a younger brother goes and does Yibim first, Zacha, what he's done is effective, the wife, the Yivama becomes his wife. However, the Rishonim point out that even though our Mishnah is teaching us that the mitzvah begadol yavim, that is only if the gadol is a fitting husband to this yavama. Let's say the oldest brother is not a fitting husband, and younger brothers are a more appropriate husband, then the younger brother has kedima, takes preference of doing yibam. Another example that Ritva gives is, let's say the oldest brother is already married, and the younger brothers, or younger brother is not married. And certainly no woman wants to enter into a situation where she'll have a tzara, where her husband has another wife. Therefore, the younger brother, even though he's younger, takes precedence over the older brother because it's a more fitting situation for this yevama to enter. There's also a shaila in the Rishonim when we discuss in the Mishnah mitzvah begadol yavim, that the oldest brother has preference for yibam. Is the same halacha said regarding chalitza? Is the same then applied that the oldest brother has kedima for chalitza, or for chalitza there is no such preference? So really it depends, explained the Mefarshim, on how do we look at chalitza. Do we look at chalitza as a separate mitzvah, that if yibam is not done, then chalitza is done? Or is chalitza just a substitution for yibam? If it's a substitution for yibam, so the line of order of yibam should apply to chalitza also. If, on the other hand, it's a separate mitzvah, then not necessarily will we say mitzvah begadol lachlitz. Tan Rabban. The pasuk says in the parasha of yibam, V'hoya b'char asher seled yokem Hashem achiv hameis v'lo yimachah shmoi b'Yisrael. Tan Rabban v'hoya b'char. The pasuk speaks about the firstborn. Mikan shemitzvah begadol yavim. This pasuk teaches us, says the Braisa, that the oldest brother has the first responsibility to do yibam. And we'll discuss this more as the derech of the Gemara is. First the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and then afterwards the Gemara goes into explaining it. So we will discuss this halacha more. Asher teled, if the woman will have a child, prat le'ayilin asher yoledes, if the brother who died's wife was an eyeless who cannot have children, his wife is not a candidate for yibam. Yokem Hashem ochiv, he takes the praise of his brother l'nachla. The yavam receives the share of inheritance that was supposed to go to the yavam, to the brother that died. At the oimel l'nachla, does this pasuk teach us that the brother who does yibam takes over the share of yerusha of the brother who died? Or einan elo l'shem? Perhaps what the pasuk means is the name. That means Yosef. If the brother who died was called Yosef, when his Yavama marries one of his brothers, Karen Isa Yosef, the child that will be born will be called Yosef. Yochanan, if the brother who died was called Yochanan, Karen Isa Yochanan, they'll call the child born from the Yibam marriage Yochanan. Says the Braisa, Nemekan Yokem Hashem Achav. Here the pasuk uses the words Yokem Hashem Achav. Nemelahalon Al Shem Achayim Yikorah Benachlosom. Ma Hashem Omer Lahalon Nachla. Just there the pasuk is referring to inheritance, to Yerusha. Af Shem Hakomakan Lanachla. And the pasuk is teaching us that the din is that the Yavam takes over the Yerusha of the brother who died. V'lo Yimachah Shmoi. The pasuk says that his name of the brother who died will not be erased. Prat l'soris, that means it comes to teach us that if the brother was a congenital soris, he was born a soris, his wife, Shishmai Mochi, his name is already blotted out, and his wife is not a candidate for yibam. And as the Rishonim point out, there are three separate halachas, three separate concepts. There's a concept of an islandess, that if the wife of the brother who died is an islandess, she's not a candidate for yibum. There's another concept of a soris, that if the brother who died was a soris chama, his wife is not a candidate for yibum. And then there's a third halacha, which we already learned, that if the brother, the living brother, is a soris who's unable to bear children, he too does not do yibum with a sister-in-law. Amar Rava. So Rava makes a comment regarding what we just learned in Braisa. Afagad b'chol ha'tar kula. Whenever we learn a pasuk, there's a rule. Ein mikra yotzim day pshutai. We always follow the pasuk pshat and the pasuk. That means even if we say a drush in the pasuk, that isn't to take away the pasuk pshat. Hocha, however, here is an exception to the rule. Asik zereshava, the zereshava that tells us that what the pasuk is teaching us is that don't explain that the pasuk is teaching us that the child that we reborn should receive the name of the dead uncle, but the pasuk is teaching us that the din of Yerusha, a fictim epashta legamri. There's no reason, not only is there no reason, one should not give the name of the uncle. The Gzeres Shava tells us to only follow what the Gzeres Shava teaches us, only Hilchos Yerusha, and nothing to do with giving names. Why shouldn't the name be given? Why shouldn't we follow the pasuk pshat? So there's a beautiful tshuva from the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkes, the Lemberger Rav. He explains that even though there's a specific inyan to give a name after relatives who passed away, which is pretty obvious from this Gemara, because our Gemara goes out of the way to say that here don't give the name. It clearly seems to indicate that under normal circumstances the name of a relative should be given. Why shouldn't the name be given? So he said, because Reya Mazle, we have here an individual who never died without children. It shows that he had a bad mazel. Therefore, don't give his name. And this is, says the Beis Yitzchak, the source of the minhag, that even when people want to give names from relatives, which we just said is very appropriate, names of relatives who died under unfortunate circumstances, died young, died in a war, are not given. The Gra explains that what should be done perhaps in such a situation is if somebody really wants to give a name after a relative who died under unfortunate circumstances, what should be done is they should give two names, the name of the relative who died and another name, and the other name should be the name that's given first. Because that's what the pasuk is teaching us, that's what the Gemara is teaching us, don't follow the pasuk pshat, just follow what the Gzeres Shava says. And the Meshech Chochma actually says the pasuk is pretty clear in showing us that that's what should be done, because the pasuk says v'hoyah habachor. In the previous year we discussed the pasuk that talks about the son, but then the pasuk says kisiel ish shtei noshim achas ahuva v'achas nuah v'hoyah haben habachor. When the Torah is talking about the son, it uses the word ben habachor. Here the pasuk only uses the word habachor. Furthermore, if the pasuk was coming to teach us that a name should be given, it should have said Yikorei al Shem Ochiv. Here it says Yokum al Shem Ochiv. Again, to show that the name of the brother who died is not given to the newborn nephew. But the Yaakov Kishuni asks, if so, there's a question. Because we know that when Er, the son of Yehuda, died, and Einan doesn't want to give Yibum to his widow Tamar, Rashi says, v'hokem zera l'achicha, that the child, if Einan were to marry Tamar, the child to be born would be named after Er. As the Yaakov Geshuni, our Gemara just taught us that the newborn child does not receive the name of the brother who died. Answered the Yaakov Geshuni based on what we just said. Why doesn't the child receive the name of his dead uncle? Because Reya Mazle, this uncle died under unfortunate circumstances. However, says the Yaakov Geshuni, Er didn't die because Reya Mazle, unfortunate circumstances. Er died because he was a Rasha, because he did Averis. And therefore, it's a different situation. And there, the Torah says that Einan could have given Er's name to a child that would have been born had he married Tamar. Ask the Gemara. We love Gzeres Shava. If not that we had a Gzeres Shava, then we would say that the pasuk perhaps means that the new a child born from the Yavam and Yavamim getting married, have Amina, shame, shame, mamish. Can we even think that the pasuk is teaching us that we should give this child the name of the uncle who passed away? We need to understand Leman Kamaza Rachmana. Who is the Torah speaking to in this pasuk? If we're saying Le Yavam, it's speaking to the Yavam and telling him, give a name after your brother. So then the pasuk should have said, Yokma Hashem Ochicha Biboilei. Ila Beidina, if the Torah is speaking to the Bezdin, who's administering the situation, Yokma Hashem Achi Ovim Biboilei. that the pasuk should have said to Beis Din that the nephew, his born, should receive the name of his uncle. So, even if we follow Pashup Shat, ask the Gemara, the Pashup Shat doesn't in any way indicate that it means to give a name after the uncle who passed away. Says the Gemara, the Pashup Shat can mean that. Because Dilma Hakakamur Urachman al Beis Din. The Torah is addressing the Beis Din and telling them, Imrulei Lo Yavim, telling the Beis Din to tell the Yavim, Yokim Hashem Achiv, that the child who will be born should have the name of his brother. El Asoy Gzer Shava, the Gzer Shava here, different than in all other situations in the Torah, a Fikde Legamre, tells us that we shouldn't follow the Pashup Pshat, and the Pasuk is only speaking regarding Yerusha. From here, says the Yad Rama, we see that this is the one situation where the Torah tells us not to follow the Pashup Pshat. In all other situations, we do follow the Pashup Pshat in the Pasuk. Says the Rama, we know that the Pasuk says, Lifnei Iver Leisite Mirshol. And it's always explained not to give a person bad advice, not to cause a person to do an Aveira, says the Yad Rama. But that doesn't, if we're saying that we always have to follow the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk, what we also have to say is that the Pasuk is teaching us, never to put a physical stumbling block in front of anyone. Ask the Gemara, Hashta Amr Krob Godl Ksiv, not it was saying that the Pasuk is teaching us that the oldest brother should do Yibum. Eimer, maybe we should say the Pasuk is teaching us Bechor Yabim. Only Bechor does Yibum. Pashut Loi Yabim, but an ordinary brother does not do Yibum. Answers the Gemara, how can we even think that way? In Cain, we discussed at the end of the previous parak the situation of Eishes Achav Shlohayi Balamai. If a brother was only born after the brother died, such a brother cannot do Yibum. But that brother, by definition, is not a Bechor. By that brother, by definition, is younger than the brother that died. So if we're saying that Yibum is only passable by Bechor, why did the Torah have to teach us that he's not a candidate to do Yibum? Lomeli, why do we need such a pasuk? He's not a Bechor. Obviously he can't do Yibum. Answers the Gemara, Parach Rav Acha, says Rav Acha, that maybe what the pasuk is teaching us, Lamat Bechor de'ima. One can have a younger brother who is a Bechor. How could he have a younger brother who's a Bechor? He could have a brother who's younger and is a Bechor to his mother, but not to his father. Answers the Gemara, Hu Lai Matzus Amrit. There's no question that a person who's just a Bechor to his mother is not a candidate to do Yibam. Because as we've been learning, Yibam Benachla Tar Rachmana. Yibam is connected to inheritance. V'nachla and Yerusha is mina av v'loy mina aim. Inheritance only follows the paternal line. So that's no havamina that a bechor to a mother should be considered a bechor for Hilchas Yibam. Asks the Aruch Liner, if so, that we're trying to suggest that only a bechor to give Yibam, why would the Torah have to teach us that ish, that only a person who's a gadol does Yibam, not a katan? If the brother was, if the person that we want to give Yibam is not an ish, is not a gadol, so then he must be younger than the older brother, because the older brother did get married, and marriage is only passable by gadolim. So how, why do we need ish? Answers the Aruch Liner, we would be able to explain that Gemara is referring to a situation where the younger brother, where the brother who remained is really older, but he didn't bring Simonim, he's the Bechor, but did not bring Shtei Saris. His younger brother already brought Shtei Saris, so he's a Gadol, and the brother remaining is older. The Ema asked the Gemara, persist the Gemara, but perhaps the Pasuk is teaching us, Kik Bechor to Sky Mitzvah Yibam. If there's a Bechor, there's an obligation to do Yibam by any of the brothers. Loi Ki Lek Bechor, but when there's no Bechor, Loi to Sky Mitzvah Yibam, there's no obligation for Yibam to be accomplished. Answers the Gemara, Amakra Omeis Echemahem. The Torah discusses one of the brother dies. Mi Loi Skinen, isn't the pasuk referring to a situation that missed Bechor, that the Bechor died, and still for Am Rachmana Liyavim Katan, the Torah says that the younger brother does Yibum. So the Gemara, no, Ve'ema, I'll tell you that the pasuk is referring to a situation that missed Katan, that the younger brother died, for Am Rachmana Liyavim Bechor, that the Bechor does Yibum. Says the Gemara again, as we learned before, Hamid Rachmana Eishes Achiv Shalai Hayabalamai. We already know that it can't be limited to a situation that only the younger brother died, not the older brother died. Because that would be the case. Why do we need to teach us in Locha that Eishes Achiv Shalai Hayabalamai doesn't do Yibam? He's a younger brother by definition. Ask the Gemara of Eima, perhaps what the Pasuk means to say is Kilek Bechor, when there's no Bechor, no living Bechor, Kodim Kodim Zochen. First the Katan goes ahead to do Yibum Zocha, it's effective. However, the Ik Bechor, if there is a living Bechor, Kodim Katan, if the younger brother went and did Yibum Loi Zocha, it's not effective. It says the Gemara, Amakra, Kiyeshvu Achim Yachtov, Hikshu Yeshivas Achim Zalazet, the Torah compared all brothers are equally fit for Yibam. And as the Ritva says, once the Gemara brings this drasha of Kiyeshvu Achim Yachtov, Hukshu Yeshivas Achim Zalazet, now all the other questions that were previously asked are also answered with this answer, any brother is qualified to do Yibam. Ve'ema, ask the Gemara, maybe we should say Ki'ik Bechor, if there's a Bechor Leheda Gadol, then we go to back to the oldest brother if no other brother wants to do Yibum Ki'lek Bechor, but if there is no Bechor Ein Chayzun Eitz Gadol, then there is no Halacha, then we go back to the oldest brother. Alam Matanik Abai Kshisha, but we know that Abai Kshisha taught us differently, because he taught us, as we learned in our Mishnah, Mitzvah Begodli Yabim, the Mitzvah is for the oldest brother to do Yibim. Loi Rotza, Holchem Eitzel Ochav HaKotten, if he doesn't want, we go to a younger brother. Loi Rotza, if he doesn't, Chayzim Eitzel Gold, then we go back to the oldest one. So we see, we always go back to the oldest one. Answers the Gemara Kebechor. The Torah is teaching us that we follow the model of a Bechor. Ma Bechor, what makes a Bechor unique? The fact that he's the oldest gives him precedence. Afgadl, the older brother, even if he's not a Bechor, given that he's older, the fact that he's older makes him have precedence to do the mitzvah of Yibam. There's an interesting shayla the Pais can discuss. We know that there could be two brothers, that even though in age one brother is older than the other, one will be by mitzvah before the other. For example, let's say there were two brothers. One was born on the last day of Adar Rishon, twins. One was born on the last day of Adar Rishon, and the next twin was born on the first day of Adar Sheni. And so the one born on the last day of Adar Rishon is older. But when it comes to Bar Mitzvah, the one, if the year that they get Bar Mitzvah is not a leap year with two others, only one other, the one was born on Rosh Chodesh Adar will be Bar Mitzvah almost a month before his brother. Who will be considered the older brother regarding Yibum? The one born first or the one Bar Mitzvah first? So I saw it's a Machloikis Hapoiskim. The Shail Shuvas Hilchis Gedanis from Yaakov Chagiz says that we always follow the one who's Bar Mitzvah first. And in fact, he says that's perhaps why Yaakov was really considered the Gadol versus Esav, because he wants to suggest that that was the way the birth of Yaakov and Esav took place. However, the Shvus Yaakov disagrees. He says we always follow the one who's actually older. The Ema, says the Gemara, perhaps what the Pasuk is teaching us, Ki'ika Kimiyavim Bechor, when the Bechor performs Yibum, then the halacha is Lishko Nachla, he takes his brother's inheritance. However, Kimiyabim Pashit, if a non-Bechor does Yibam, Loi Lishko Nachla, he doesn't take the inheritance. Says the Gemara, Amakra, the Pasuk says, which teaches us that the brother takes the Nachla, Yokum Hashem Ochiv, the brother takes his brother's place, for he come, and makes no difference if he's a Bechor or not. Ask the Gemara, so if so, that the din of Yibam is not limited to Bechor. Ask the Gemara, Bechor the Kaya Rechmana, the Torah called the Yavam Bechor. Lamai Hechsa, regarding what? Answers Legrei Yosa. It comes to take away from his inheritance right. Ma Bechor, Ein Neutel Beroy Kibamuksuk, does not take a double portion. Normally Bechor takes a double portion, but he only takes a double portion in the assets that his father has at the time of death, not in his receivables. Afhai, the Yavim, who also gets the Yavim's portion, Ein Neutel Beroy Kibamuksuk, only gets in what he had, not what he intended to have. And there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara that Reuven is the brother who passed away, and he left brother Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Shimon gets Reuven's share of inheritance of Yaakov, their father. But Rashi says, even if Yaakov is alive when Shimon does Yibam and Reuven's widow, when Yaakov dies and the children inherit him, Shimon will get two portions, his portion and Reuven's portion. But what the Gemara is saying, he only gets the portion in what is left in Yaakov's estate when he dies, not in any receivables Yaakov is supposed to get. The other Rishonim disagree. They say that if Yaakov is alive when Shimon does Yibum and Reuven's wife, then Shimon will not get a double share, his share and Reuven's share in Yaakov's inheritance, because that will be considered Roy and not Muchzik, and he won't get a double share. And the Farshim want to suggest that the basis of the Machlok between Rashi and the Rashba is really based on another Shaila. And that is that when we say the Yavam takes the place of the brother whom he's doing Yibam to his sister-in-law, to his brother's widow, what does it mean that he takes his place? Is it a stin in Hilchus Yerusha that he gets his share of the Yerusha? And then what the Rashba suggests, that a brother, that there's no Yerusha, that no extra shares in Roy, in the receivable, is applicable. Or perhaps he completely fills the shoes of Reuven. For example, these Paiskim say that according to Rashi, if Reuven had a position that could be inherited by family, the Yavam is the one who gets that position, because he completely takes his place. And therefore, even if their father Yaakov did not pass away, when he passes away, he also gets Reuven's share in Yaakov's Yerusha. Teaches us the Mishnah, Hanitan al Shifcha, if there are rumors that someone had relations with a Shifcha, or there are rumors that he had with a Shtachra, and then she becomes free. The rumors that he had relations with a non-Jewish woman, when the Skyrim, then that woman is Megayer, Harezel lo yichnais. You should not marry that woman, because people will say they only got married with her, as we'll learn in the Gemara, because they wanted to continue having relations. However, v'mkanas emetzim miyadai. Hanitan leishasish, if the rumors that someone had relations with a married woman, v'itzim etachas yadai, and the husband divorced her, apishakanas, here aloch is that if the person that the rumors are about takes this woman as a wife, Yoitzi has to get divorced. Tosfos points out that if there are rumors that a single man was having relations with a single girl, there, on the contrary, says Tosfos, he should marry her to dispel these rumors. However, says the Rosh, that's only if the girl was below the age that she becomes a Nida. But if she was already above the age of becoming a Nida, so there are rumors that she did an Aveira, so the din of our Mishnah applies, and in such circumstances they should not get married. The Ramah paskins like the Rosh, but the Ramah points out that if Besdin sees that if they will not get married, this girl and this couple may continue doing Aveiras, then they should get married. Says our Gemara, HaGiyaris Miyahava, the Geiris is an effect of Geiris. The only question is about them getting married. What's the proof that the Gezeiris is an effect of Geiris? So here too we have a Machloikis Rashi in Tosfos. Rashi says the proof that it's an effect of Geiris is because the Mishnah says to him, don't marry her. Anybody else can marry her. If the Geiris isn't an effect of Geiris, she's not Jewish, so no one should marry her. Taisus says the proof is because the Mishnah says that if she did become a geiris and they geiris and they did get married, the Mishnah says they don't have to get divorced. If she's not Jewish, is the Mishnah going to tell them to remain married to her? Ask the Gemara, how can we say that this is an effective geiris? For many, it says in the Braisa, Echer geish shenis geir l'shem isha. If a man became geir, so he can marry a woman. Vechir isha shenis geir l'shem isha, or a woman became a geiris in order that she should be able to marry a man. Vechim isha shenis geir l'shem shulchem alachim. Jews are having prosperity, and he wanted to take part in that prosperity. L'shem avdi shlam, as we discussed, people who are prominent, this geir wants to get a prominent position. Einan geirim, all of these situations are not effective geiris. Divrerim nechemya, shayrim nechemya oimer. Eche geirim rayis, the kutim that became geirim out of fear of the lions. Eche geirim chalayim, somebody becomes a geir because he had a dream that he should become a geir. Eche geirim martchiv estev, somebody becomes a geir because, like in the times of Martha and Esther, who prevailed. Einam geirim, they're not geirim, actually is geir b'zmanazeh, until they become geirim in the present time. Ask the Gemara, b'zmanazeh sakataitach, is the Gemara suggesting that only in the time when the Gemara was written, there's an effective geiris? Ela eima kivizmanazeh, like in this time, when the time the Gemara was written, Jews were not on top, so there certainly was no ulterior motive in somebody becoming a geir. So in our Mishnah, how can we think that the geiris is an effective geiris? Hoet Malah answers the Gemara. Omer Yitzchak Bashmul Babarto Mishmei Derav Halacha Kedivrei Omer Kulam Geirim Heim. That they are that the geiris is an effective geiris, even if it was done for an ulterior motive. Ask the Gemara if it's an effective geiris. L'chatchi hochi l'chatchi l'nami. Why shouldn't this man be allowed to marry her? B'shem de Rav Asi. Answer the Gemara because what Rav Asi said. Damar Rav Asi. Hosimimcha ekshus peh v'lazis fosayim. The pasuk says in Mishlei, a person should do everything to remove from himself rumors. If he gets married under these circumstances, there will be rumors about the marriage, and therefore they should not get married. So the Mefarshim asks, what is Rav Asi telling us? Rav Asi is telling us a pasuk. We know the pasuk without Rav Asi. So pasuk pshat is the Rav Asi is the one that applies this pasuk to our Mishnah. Another pshat is that the Meretz Chai says this pshat is that the Rav Asi is teaching us the rumors are here about this person already. So perhaps once the rumors are there, we shouldn't care. Says the Mishnah that even though the rumors are there, a person should not do anything to strengthen the rumors. Another pshat is that even though a person has a way of answering the rumors, he should not rely on an excuse. He should just avoid rumors. But now, the Mefarshim ask, which rumor are we concerned about? So we have a machloikis, Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi says that the concern is that people will say he got married to her because he was having an improper relationship with her. The Ramban says the concern is not the rumor about the relationship. The concern is the rumor about the geiris. The people will say that the geiris was an ineffective geiris. And this machloikus of Rashi and Ramban relates to a very fundamental shaila. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked a shaila where there was a couple, a Jewish man who married a non-Jewish woman. They get married civilly. Obviously they couldn't get married. She's not, Kedusha is not typhus. She's not Jewish. And then, after a number of years, she came and said she wanted to become a geiris. And the question is, can we accept her as a geiris? Says Rav Moshe, let's analyze the situation. If the concern is that the rumor is that people will say that they were having a relationship, there's no concern for rumor. It's a fact. Everybody knows that they were living together. But Rav Moshe goes even a step further. If the concern is that people will say that the geiris wasn't an effective geiris, says Rav Moshe, here that they lived so many years together and nobody's forcing her to become a geiris, it must be that if she is coming to be geiris, she must mean it and it's an effective geiris. However, Rav Moshe again stresses that we have to truly make sure that she's being makabel mitzvahs, that she's going to follow a Torah path of life. The Rechayim has a similar shaila. He doesn't follow Rav Moshe's line of reasoning, and he says that perhaps we should be concerned that there will be rumors about this geiris. But says the Rechayim, we have to judge the situation. And if we see that this couple will remain together, if we tell them that we're not accepting the woman as a Giyoris, and on the other hand, if we accept her as a Giyoris, she will become a true Giyoris Tzedek, the Rechayim suggests that we have to weigh the situation and perhaps allow the Geyris, allow it to become a Giyoris. Tana Rabbanim, Ein Mekam Geyrim L'Mos Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, we're not going to accept Geyrim. Ki Yotzboi, similarly, Kibbul Geyrim, Loi B'mei David, V'loi B'mei Shloima. Not in time of David, not in time of Shloima. Asks, Tosfos, we do find that there were Geyrim in the history of Klal Yisrael. The time of Shloima, the daughter Parah became a Geyrus. So Tosfos answers, and this is an important concept in understanding Geyrus. Tosfos says that if we see that the person truly means it, even if it's in a time of prosperity by Klal Yisrael, or even if we see that there may be ulterior motives, then we do accept the Geyrus even though we have these concerns. And that's why the Mefarshim explain, the Baba Rebbe explains this way, the Pasuk says that we did not accept, we should not accept Geirim in the time of Mordechai and Esther, because there's a concern that they only did it because Mordechai and Esther prevailed. The Pasuk says in the Megillah, V'rabim me'amei ha'aretz misyahadim, that many people did become Geirim in the time of Mordechai and Esther. Why are we not concerned? Says the Bava Rebbe. The Pasuk says in the Megillah, Le'ehudim ha'is oira v'simcha v'sasim v'yikar. And the Gemara Masech Megillah says, V'yikar elu tefillin. Klal Yisrael were wearing tefillin. We know that the Pasuk says, what does it say, what did the Pasuk say regarding that? V'ra'a kol ame oritz, ki shem Hashem nikro alecho. When we wear our tefillin, the ame oritz see that we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. V'rabim ma'ame oritz, there were many Amorites that became Jews. But how can we accept their Geiris? Shouldn't we be concerned that they only become Geirim because they saw the success of Mordechai and Esther? Misyadim. These were Amorites, the Amorites, V'ra'a Amorites, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. That type of a Geiris, we always accept. And that's why Misyadim, we accepted their Geiris. Omer Belazar, Mikra, where do we see in the Pasuk that Geirus will not be accepted in Moshe Mashiach, because then everybody's going to want to be a Geir because of the success of Klal Yisrael? Because the Pasuk says in Yeshayah, Hengor Yogur Efes Mi Oisim Yigor Itcha Alayach Yipol. Those who want to come and convert, let him convert when Klal Yisrael, Efes Mi Oisim, they don't have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when we live in the darkness of Golus, such Geirus will be such Geirim will be part of Klal Yisrael. Idach loy, others will not. However, and says the Maril, and along the same lines, says the Maril that we will not accept Geirim, we will not accept tshuva when Mashiach comes, because again, then the tshuva will not be really that meaningful. People will do tshuva because of Mashiach, not because they mean it. Only now, when we're in Golus, is the time for tshuva. So we learned in the Mishnah, Hanitan Alayshas Ish, if someone was, there were rumors that he was having relations with a married woman, then if he gets married, if she gets divorced, and he marries her, they have to get divorced. Amar Rav tells us, Rav be'edim, the person has to divorce her only when they were edim that they had relations. Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, Amina, Kinayim v'shochav Rav omel haishmatzah. Rav must have been sleeping when he said this thing. And as the Chavos Yoah says, he really doesn't mean to insult Rav. He means to give Rav a compliment. Rav only said brilliant things. If he said this that doesn't make sense, he must have said it when he was sleeping. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Hanitan Aleishas Ish, if there are rumors that somebody was having relations with a married woman, V'etziyah al yodai, a bezdin required her husband to divorce her. And she, after getting divorced from her husband, marries someone else. Imkanas, and now she goes back to the person that there were rumors about her with. Lo yotzi, they don't have to get divorced. Hechidami, exactly what case is the Brice referring to? Idik edim, if there were edim to the adultery, If somebody else got married to her after she divorced her husband, my havi, why does it make a difference? Elalav, the lack of edim. The braisa must refer to a situation where there are no edim. So what's the reason that the adulterer can remain with her? The os achav afsul kol, because she got married to someone else in between. Halav hachi, were that not the case, mafkinen, we would make her not be allowed to stay with the adulterer, even though there were no edim that to her adultery. Amalach Rav says, Rav, who adin da afgav deloy as achav afsul kol. Even if she did not get married to anyone in between, if there are no edim to the adultery, they may remain together with the evid. Only if there are edim do they have to get divorced. Do not have to get divorced. The Bryce is teaching us the afgav the osa achav afsul kol. Even though there was someone in between who married her, still lechatchila lo yichnos, lechatchila the adulterer should not marry her. Meisvei asked the Gemara from the following Bryce. The medva mamurim when and he said that the suspected adulterer has to divorce the woman, Shein Labonim, if she doesn't have children from her first marriage. Ava Yesh Labonim, if she has children, like Taitsei, she doesn't get divorced because that will cause a rumor to say that the children are Mamzerim. Vimba Eidit Tumah, however, if there are Eidim, Afila Yesh Lekama Bonim, even if they had several children from her first marriage, then Taitsei, she has to leave the adulterer. This braisa clearly indicates that if there are no children, even if there are no witnesses, the adulterer and her must get divorced. Answers the Gemara that Rav will taka agree that if there are no children and there even if there are no witnesses, they have to get divorced. However, Rav Mukilel Misnisan, Rav explains that our Mishnah is referring to a situation v'yesh labonim, that they do have children, v'yesh la'edim, and there were edim, and that's why if the adulterer marries her, they have to get divorced. Ask the Gemara, Omai duchke the Rav look l'masnisan. What forces Rav to explain our Mishnah? V'yesh labonim, v'yesh la'edim, that they are children and edim. That's why they have to get divorced. The Tamadik Edom Afkinen, because they're Edom, they have to get divorced. Vilak Edom, had they not been Edom, since they are children, Loim Afkinen, they don't have to get divorced. Lukma B'Shein Loi Bonim. Why don't we explain that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there are no children from the first marriage? And Afagav Deleka Edom, but if there are no children, we're saying the Rav agrees that even if there are no Edom, they have to get divorced. Omer Rava, says Rava Masnisen Kashisa. Our Mishnah's wording posed a difficulty to Rav that forced him to explain it this way. My iri detani hotziyoi. Why did Mishnah say that the husband was forced to divorce her? Listening hotziyoi. Why does the Mishnah say that the husband divorced her? Elokai hotziyoi. The wording hotziyoi means bebezdin. The bezdin forced them to get divorced. Why? Because bezdin be'edim hu demafki. Bezdin only forced couple to get divorced if there are edim. So we see that our Mishnah are talking about edim. And Rav, according to his position, if they're Edom, even if they are children, they have to get divorced. And that's why he explains the Mishnah referring to such a situation.